Today's homily is the fourth in a series that began 3 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago, I talked about priorities. And to put it in context, we're living in a time where everything has changed. We don't seem to have any control over anything. And what do we do about that? Well, in fact, we do have control over our priorities. We can set those priorities. In a sense, we can claim our lives, get them back, rather than thinking we have nothing to do or can't control anything, but we do control our priorities. What's important in our lives? Do we know what they are? Do we follow them? Do we live them? Would people say, I know what that person believes by their life, what they say, what they do? Would people know that about us? Jesus certainly had his priorities. Again, 3 weeks ago, we had the story of Jesus going into the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. Clearly, his priority was his relationship with the Father, 40 days. And then he continued living out that priority by going out into the world and preaching, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. So there again, relationship with God and doing the will of the Father, those were here priorities. What are our priorities? And each week there is a worksheet which you can download if you want to go further with this. So the first week was about priorities. The second week was about identity. Who are we? In what or in whom is our identity rooted? Now, as Christians, we should be saying, well, it's rooted in God. That's where our identity comes from. And what is our identity? Well, God said to Jesus on Mount Tabor 2 weeks ago, he said, this is my beloved son. Listen to him. He says that about us too. We are his beloved sons and daughters. Now think of that. We are children of the Most High God. We don't have to look for fame. We don't have to go looking for fortune or wealth. We have it because we are children of God. And if we keep realizing that identity, the more confidence we should have in setting our priorities and living them because we're rooted in God. So we have our priorities. We know what our identity is. Are we living it? And then last week I talked about listening. If we want to be able to hear God speaking to us, we need to listen. We need to take time simply to be quiet. Catherine Doherty, a servant of God, put it this way. In the West, we need to fold the wings of our intellects. Just listen to God, so that we can hear God speaking to us and helping us to move forward. And the more we hear God, the more we are going to see how we are being showered with all sorts of gifts from the Holy Spirit so that we can go forth and live our priorities. Perfect example of someone who listened to God was Samuel the prophet in the Old Testament. He was called by God as a young boy, and he kept saying, who is that? Who is that? Finally, he was told to say, Lord, your servant is listening. What a great way to begin prayer. Can you imagine just sitting down and saying, Lord, your servant is listening? And we'll hear God. He'll speak with us. He certainly speaks to us through the Bible. So we have the Word of God, but we got to keep listening so that we can see what God has done and what he wants to do through each of us. Now today, the primary word is believe. What kind of believers are we? Is our faith truly rooted in the God of the Old and New Testament? What do we believe? What do we believe that carries us along? And there again, just like everything else, we get distracted. We get pulled this way. We get pulled that way. There's the social media, Facebook, email. We can get distracted, and the more we get distracted, the more we get pulled away from our priorities and our identity, and the more we fail to listen. But if we keep going back to our belief, what is at the root of our belief, and it's all about God and God's love for us, then we can hopefully pull away from those distractions and focus more on our relationship with God. So even when we sin, and we do sin, we can repent. And that's the message of Lent. Repent, turn back to the Lord. God will forgive us. And when we repent, what we're doing is we're changing our thinking, We're changing our behavior. We're changing our direction. And we can do it again and again with God's help. And whenever we turn back to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me, God forgives me so that I can move forward. That's part of our belief, very much a part of our belief. We truly believe that God is always there for us. No matter how many times we sin, no matter how many times we do evil, God is ready to forgive us and get us back on track. In other words, he's for us. He's not against us. He's not waiting for us to sin and then grab us or punish us. No, he doesn't want that because he wants us to excel and to flourish as his children. And as we look at the scriptures, again, we have story after story after story where we have to come away saying, yeah, that's true, I believe. It's in the Bible. So, for example, in today's first reading, we have the story of Cyrus the Great, the king of the Persians. Who was he? Well, he was the leader of the Persians who defeated the Babylonians, who had been the great empire in the Middle East. He defeated them. And the Babylonians, as we know, about 70 years before Cyrus, conquered Jerusalem and destroyed it completely, destroyed this beautiful temple that Solomon had built, and took all of the upper classes into exile in Babylon and other places. Now, just imagine that. Here is a people that thought they had this great connection with God, and yet he allows the Babylonians to come in and destroy their kingdom and take them into exile. Just think of yourselves. If you were given, let's say, 20 minutes to pack a bag because you were going to go to Mexico where you're going to live the rest of your life, what would that feel like? What would you think about that? Well, that did happen to the Israelites. Now, the great thing about all this is that God took a pagan ruler, Cyrus the Great. He wasn't a Jew. He was a pagan. And yet somehow he was open to God, listened to God, and what he said to the Jews, go back to your country. Rebuild your temple. Again, can you imagine the joy the people felt when they were given that word, that they can go back home and continue their lives? So here, how can we not believe when God takes a pagan to do this great work for his people? And he did. And he does it again and again and again. We have Nicodemus in today's gospel. Very interesting man. He was part of the Sanhedrin, the group of 70 elders and priests who basically ruled Israel. So he had a very, very prominent position. And as we know from the few times he's mentioned in Scripture, he was kind of a cautious believer, kind of a silent believer. Some people say, well, maybe he was quiet so that he could help out the Jews and the Christians as a member of the Sanhedrin. Well, we don't know. But the fact is, he became a believer. And so, as we know, he and Joseph of Arimathea took the body of Christ and put it in a tomb, and they were going to bring myrrh and incense to prepare it for burial, so forth and so on. But there again, Nicodemus came to believe. And in his case, a lot of it came, his belief came by listening to Jesus, listening. So he became a believer. And that's how people become a believer, by hearing the gospel preached to them. Now, it's not in the airways. It's not just because I do good things that people are going to believe, but it's when I say it's about Jesus Christ, it's about God. Look at the Old Testament, look at the New Testament. Look how God constantly was taking care of the people, even though they kept turning away. God was always there. It was a firm foundation, a true believer. So if we truly believe, again, hopefully we'll have the confidence to take our priorities and constantly refine them, renew them, change them as necessary, and follow through on them. So there's a download today if you want to look at it. It's basically, what would your ideal week look like if you were totally free to prioritize it any way you wanted? Now, it's not going to happen, but you never know. So 100% to think that you're free and you can prioritize your week. Where would you put prayer? Where would you put maybe some recreation or renewal of your physical body? Where would you put community connections? But you know, you can take that one page and do some good thinking. And again, it may get you thinking about where you are with your priorities right now. What have you latched on to? What have you let go of? What do you need to renew, to revivify, to change, so that you can live the priorities that you set as a child of God, your identity, as one who listens to God, because God's always communicating with us, so that we can be the disciples that God created us to be. So again, there are times, probably especially when we feel under the weather, depressed or sick, that we think, I'm out of control, there's nothing I can do. However, we really do have control. We can set our priorities and live them each and every day, work with them, and share them with other people. One of the ways we can hold ourselves accountable is by talking with other people and say, how do you pray? What do you like to do for prayer? And what do you do in terms of serving God in the community? And then to share with them, this is what I'm going to try. This is what I'm doing. And the more we do that with our brothers and sisters, not only will we get great ideas as to how we might prioritize that perfect week that we want, but we're going to come up with very simple things we never thought of because we took the time to listen to other people. And yes, God even speaks through other people. So God has given us a multitude of gifts and ways in which we can connect with him so that we can better live the priorities as Christians that we have. And what are those priorities? Well, love of God, love of neighbor, and then we flesh that out. What do we do about that? That's our major priority, so that we can do that and live the lives of on-fire disciples that we were created to be. So God's always loving us. He's never abandoning us. He's always saying, go for it, surprise me. I've given you all these gifts, use them. So it's up to us in the end to take those gifts and actually use them and surprise ourselves. Surprise ourselves in the way we name something maybe we didn't name before, but it's important, and then we live that priority out each and every day. And as we do that, we take more and more control of our lives, and we really become stable, rooted people in God, people who are called to be like Jesus and to share the gospel message with others. So sky's the limit when it comes to living the gospel, being the disciples of God. But it's up to us to take the time to think, to pray, to listen to God so that we can know who we are, what we're about, and follow through on living our priorities.